Everything is topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
The question that I was really looking at is, imagine you're doing something that's really interesting. Maybe you love to play tennis, or maybe you love to sing, or whatever it is. Suppose you're doing something that you find really interesting, and then somebody begins to reward you for doing it. Maybe they give you money each time you win a game, or some other kind of reward, some trophies, and whatever it happens to be. So suppose you're doing something that interests you, and then people start rewarding you for doing that activity. My question is, what will happen to your interest, to your intrinsic motivation for the activity? Will the reward enhance your intrinsic motivation and interest in the activity? Will it leave it unchanged? Or might it even undermine it? That was the question that I was trying to answer.
Great art changes the way artists perceive what they should be doing. It's not a single gimmick, because, you know, a great gimmick is great if it, like, takes you from here to there, if you own the gimmick. If the gimmick owns you, it's over.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
So I brought participants into the lab, and for half of them, all of them played this interesting puzzle called Soma. It's a kind of spatial relations kind of puzzle, and undergraduates who were my participants found it very interesting. So I had them come in, but I randomly assigned them to one of two groups. One group did the various puzzles, and that was it, whereas the other group did the various puzzles. Everything was the same puzzles for the same amount of time and so on. The only difference was I told the one group that for each puzzle you solve, I'll give you $1. That was in 1969. A dollar was worth something, so it really was a reward. I'll give you a dollar. I'll give you a dollar.
Money have no intrinsic hookup at all. It's not like sports. Your batting average is your batting average. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, and they've tried to make it much like that. Like the best artist is the most expensive artist. Same thing.
Is that not true?
How could it be true?
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
What I then did is, after they finished doing the puzzles, half of whom got paid and half didn't, I measured the intrinsic motivation of the people in the two groups, and I found that those people who had gotten rewarded for doing the task actually subsequently found it less interesting, and they were less likely to return to doing more of it when they had a free choice opportunity to do it. In other words, it had actually, the being rewarded, monetarily rewarded, undermined their intrinsic motivation for doing this activity. Undermine their intrinsic motivation for doing this activity.
I always say to artists, don't be an artist unless you really, 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 really have to. Because 99.999% of artists don't have money. It's that simple. Artists have to make an enemy of envy
They must do this or it will eat them alive.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
To me, when I hear people say, how can I motivate my daughter to be more, to do her schoolwork, or how can I motivate my son to play fewer video games, or whatever it is, when people talk about motivation, what they're really talking about is motivation is as if it were a unitary concept that differs only in amount. All the discussion is about amount of motivation. And yet, from the beginning, in the work that we do in self-determination theory, and where it started, we've always believed that there were different kinds of motivation, and that it's more important to know the kind of motivation than it is the amount of motivation. So asking the question, like, how do I motivate my kid or my employee, is really the wrong question. It's we've got to start by wondering what kind of motivation we're talking about.
There are no rules about what is going to be good and what is going to be bad. Heart doesn't give a shit. It never has.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
Within self-determination theory, we make a distinction between what's called autonomous motivation and controlled motivation. Autonomous motivation includes intrinsic motivation, which I've already been talking about. That's a sort of prototype of autonomous motivation. And controlled motivation means that you're doing something because you've been coerced or seduced into doing it. So you're feeling a sense of pressure and obligation. Whereas with autonomy, You're doing it with a full sense of willingness, volition, and choice. You're doing it because it's fun and interesting. That's intrinsic motivation. Or you could be doing it because it's deeply of value and important to you within your own value system. So if something is really important to you, you believe it's important, then you'll engage in the behavior with a full sense of willingness, much like you will if it's something that's very interesting to you. You're doing it with a full sense of willingness, volition, and choice. Willingness, volition, and choice.
Suddenly there was the realization, because of the prices that these works of art by living artists got, that you could make money by buying low and selling high.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
Okay, so the interest and value are all about autonomous motivation, and pressure and obligation are all about controlled motivation. So what we found is that when somebody is motivated in a controlled way, the consequences are very different from when they're motivated in an autonomous way. The consequences or the outcomes associated with autonomous motivation are much more positive. People perform better, they feel better, it promotes greater psychological health and well-being, they persist at the activities more, they're more creative when they do it, and so on. Whereas when they're controlled, that is a type of motivation, and the classic instance of that is the carrot and stick, the use of rewards and punishment to get people to do things, and that's what a lot of people think about as motivation. Well, it is a kind of motivation, but it's controlled motivation, and the consequences associated with controlled motivation are, first off, that the quality of behavior is not as good. So autonomous motivation, when it comes to learning, for example, promotes conceptual understanding, deep learning, and those sorts of things. Whereas when people's learning is controlled in its motivation, then they do pretty well with rote memorization, but they don't do well at all with more conceptual and deeper kinds of learning. pressure and obligation are all about controlled motivation.
There's a lot of people that know the price of everything and the value of nothing.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
You can't get to that place when you just are thinking about the amount of motivation that somebody has for learning. You need to know the type of motivation that a person has for learning in order to predict about the quality of learning, whether it will be more conceptual and deeper or more rote and surface level. You can't get to that place.
Sell you something that he hadn't made for 3 years' time at a price, and then that promise became traded.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
You ask the question, how can I motivate my employee or my student? That gets you right to controlled motivation. You, the teacher or the parent or whoever, is doing the motivating. In other words, is controlling that person. But when it comes to autonomous motivation, you don't think in terms of how do I motivate autonomous motivation, the appropriate question there is, how do I create the circumstances within which my students will motivate themselves? How do I create the circumstances within which my students will motivate themselves? How do I create the circumstances within which my students will motivate themselves?
And Larry's been living on the edge for I don't know how long. Nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, people are looking for his paintings. And it's kind of weird. Because, you know, they do a calculation. It's sick. And the calculation is, who's the most undervalued painter? Because it's a stock market calculation. It's a completely perverse and upside-down art world.
Topsy-tarvy. My routine has been disturbed.
We found lots of different evidence leading us to believe that all people need to feel competent in their lives for doing some sorts of things. And if they don't, if they feel incompetent wherever they turn, it's going to have negative psychological consequences very quickly. Going to have negative psychological consequences very quickly. It's going to have negative psychological consequences very quickly.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself
behind the wheel of a large automobile.
And you may find yourself in a beautiful house. Yeah.
with the solvent, water removed. There is water at the bottom of the ocean. Under the water, carry the water. Remove the water at the bottom of the ocean. Water dissolving, water removing.
Listen, great things tell you they're great. I mean, when you see something really great, everybody knows it. Even lay people can feel something.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
You fail a bunch of tests and you start to feel bad. And if that keeps on going, then you feel bad about yourself. And if it keeps on going, you become depressed and so forth. Then you feel bad about yourself. People need to feel competent. And when you feel competent or effective in what you're doing, then you're feeling very positive in terms of your affective state and your engagement with the world around you.
I really never made any money until recently, but I always got by. If you have something to say, it will be seen. You just might not be alive. That's the sucky part. You might be old or dead. And if you're female, you're bound to be old or dead.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
Most of us come to believe that it's important that we have some close persons in our lives. It could be romantic relationships with spouses or partners. It could be best friends. But somehow we need those people that we turn to when we're feeling excited, or that we turn to when we're feeling bad.
Yes.
We need to depend on some other people. Okay, so what we're saying is we need to feel relatedness with others, a sense of belonging with others. When you feel it, there are positive consequences for psychological well-being, but when you're feeling rejected and ignored, the consequences are negative. So that's the second need. We need to feel relatedness.
That looks like a finished painting. They just finished themselves off. I can't imagine anything I could do except ruin it at this point. Lunchtime.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
And the third need is autonomy. I've already said something about what autonomy is and said that there's a kind of motivation that's autonomous, but now I'm taking a step further. We in self-determination theory take a step further and say that all human beings need to feel that. They need to feel a sense of volition, of willingness and choice in their lives. And if they do, it will have positive consequences. But if they don't, there will be negative consequences. Thank you. They need to feel a sense of volition, of willingness and choice in their lives. They need to feel a sense of volition, of willingness and choice in their lives.
Great art changes the way artists perceive what they should be doing. It's not kind of a single gimmick, because, you know, a great gimmick is great if it, like, takes you from here to there, if you own the gimmick. If the gimmick owns you, it's over.
Everything's topsy-turvy. My routine has been disturbed.
Okay, so what this boils down to is the circumstances within which students learn, or our children do whatever they're doing at home, the circumstances need to be ones that allow them to satisfy their needs for competence, relatedness, and autonomy. And if they do, then they'll be autonomously motivated and evidence a high level of psychological health and well-being.
I've read one novel in my life. I've got attention deficit, whatever.
Yeah.
I've read one novel in my life, and it's The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Any good?
It's the best book I've ever read.
Okay.